from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. The MLB postseason is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Coming up on today's show, there's a couple of topics that I want to get into. The first one is Evan Longoria stirring the pot again on Twitter. And the second piece of news is that there are a couple of more names linked to the Giants in their managerial search. But just jumping right into this Evan Longoria thing, the reason I say he's stirring the pot again is that he, to widespread attention, went on Instagram in the early part of 2019 in the winter with a long post about the state of the game and the state of free agency. And basically, you know, it sounded like talk of rallying the troops for a strike is what it sounded like. And that's his right. I mean, free speech, he can say whatever he wants. But I just happened to find that type of post not productive, and some of the things he said were baseless and not really supported by any kind of evidence. Like, he was saying that it seems like every day front offices are inventing new ways to devalue players. So that was we've talked about that a lot and kind of the ramifications of that type of thinking. And we even just like a week ago did an episode, do analytics devalue players? Because that was written about in, I believe it was The Ringer. But this idea that analytics are devaluing players is just kind of a made-up one where people who don't understand what the analytics are feel threatened by them. And I understand that, but the onus is on the players and anyone who doesn't understand them to learn about them instead of just blindly saying that they're attacked by made-up numbers, because they're not made up. They're rooted in sound math. And so if anybody has any questions about a number that they think is made up to devalue players, please go ahead and ask, because I have yet to come across one. So anyway, this thing that Longoria said yesterday was not the same, but it again was stirring the pot and just kind of creating controversy and just driving a stake between MLB and the Major League Baseball Players Association. And I think that there are definitely issues. And again, I respect the right of the players to take up these issues, but I just think they need to be approached in a productive way as opposed to just stirring the pot and rocking the boat. So anyway, what happened was there was a clip of actually a Giants prospect, Jacob Hayward, getting thrown out in an Arizona Fall League game after arguing balls and strikes, and it was a strike called by a robotic umpire. Okay, so it's this big curveball and it just clips the bottom of the zone according to the technology. And look, it's clearly not a strike. It's not something that anybody wants to be a strike, but that is why they're testing this in the Arizona Fall League and in the independent leagues to kind of work out the kinks. I'm sorry, but if you're in the AFL, just deal with it, because the idea is a better strike zone. It's an attempt to be more productive, and players don't typically like umpires either. So it is not hard to find egregious calls by human umpires in the strike zone. It happens every single day, pretty much in every single game. So we have one bad call by a robot umpire here, and Longoria's response is, quote, "And this is the direction we are going? ?" I hope MLB and MLB players, he tags them both, their Twitter handles. I hope at Major League Baseball and at MLB underscore players are taking notes. This is brutal. So he's right. It's a bad call. But, I mean, technically, the robotic zone got it right. It did graze the bottom of the zone per its definition. But to me, the solution is simple. And we've had other people on Twitter complain about these types of calls, the big curveball that just clips the bottom of the zone, saying that this would be a travesty if this was called a strike in baseball. The solution is simple. raise up the bottom of the strike zone a little bit so that pitch isn't a strike. And then I said that on Twitter, a couple of people kind of disagreed and said, well, then the fastball at the knees is no longer going to be a strike in that same location. And my response to that is that the pitchers already have an advantage with all the strikeouts we're seeing in today's game. I don't think I would lose much sleep over the bottom of the zone being raised up a little bit, especially because the bottom of the zone has been getting lower and lower in recent seasons. Umpires, you know, over the last decade or so have just been calling the low strike more and more. And so if we raise it up like 3 to 6 inches, I don't think the hitters would be too unhappy about that. And the beauty of the automated strike zone is that it would be consistent. So you could figure out what was a strike and it would never deviate. And that's what's so maddening about human umpires is that they're inconsistent. So imagine if that pitch was always called a strike, you would learn to swing the bat when you see it. And you wouldn't have to guess, is that going to be a call to strike or not? So just the faux outrage over something like this, when we could point to any number of examples of major league umpires making horrible strike zone calls on any given night, that we're just going to throw our arms up in outrage over one call that, you know, is in the AFL. It's not in MLB. I just think it's unnecessarily inflammatory and it's totally unproductive. So anyway, I just had to come on and say my piece about that. Coming up in the second half of the show, we have a couple of new names to throw into the ring for the Giants' managerial search. So that's all coming up next. But first, everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite team or seeing your favorite band in person. I want to talk about the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, where you can attend these shows and events and earn credit towards attending your next live event through Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is the top source for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price, section, row, sit exactly where you want to sit, all through the Vivid Seats app. And what makes them really stand out here is their Vivid Seats loyalty program, which allows you to earn credit back through something called Vivid Seats Rewards. You can download the Vivid Seats app at the App Store or Google Play Store, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. You can attend the biggest concerts, the hottest games, postseason games, theater shows, and more. Download the app, automatically join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today, and make a memory that lasts a lifetime, and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. If you enter special promo code POSTSEASON at checkout, you can earn a discount of up to $100. We talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product, and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we just have a couple of more names that have been linked to the Giants in their search for a new manager. Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times says, quote, add Rays bench coach Matt Quatraro to the list of candidates for the SF Giants manager job. Well-respected, smart, good communicator, managed in the minors, coached in majors with Indians, and now Rays. So I thought all along it would make a lot of sense for the Giants to snag somebody from the Tampa Bay Rays and that Farhan Zaidi would be interested in doing so. And Henry Schulman of the San Francisco Chronicle added, quote, Farhan is a fan of Rays manager Kevin Cash and how he used reams of information and unusual strategy to get the most out of the lowest payroll team in the majors. The bench coach would have a huge hand in that strategy. And he's right. And predictably, some people wanted to go and argue against the idea that Kevin Cash and the Rays are a good model to build themselves after. But I think Kevin Cash would be like the perfect manager out there. And I think he's arguably one of the best managers in Major League Baseball. And Matt Quatraro would just be an extension of those same philosophies that come over from the Rays, but of course with the big budget of the San Francisco Giants. Another name to add to the list is Astros bench coach Joe Espada. And I think Espada is a very intriguing candidate, very well liked and respected, and very intelligent as well. John Heyman of MLB Network reports that the Giants have called the Astros for permission to speak to Espada, who is also a candidate for the Cubs job, the Cubs managing job. And Espada reportedly had a really good interview when he was interviewing for that position with the Cubs, but a lot of people consider David Ross to be the favorite for that position, and I would tend to think they may be right. So anyway, Quatraro and Espada, add them to the list of candidates for the Giants, which is now becoming a list that is approaching the 8 to 10 names that we expected all along, although we don't have confirmed reports of an interview with Quatraro, Espada, or Will Venable, who have all been linked to them recently, but we have yet to hear confirmed reports of an interview. So we'll update you all along the way as this process continues to unfold. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again on Monday, and until then, we'll see you next time.